From the KTOO Newsroom, I'm Adeline Baxter with this look at local and statewide news. A fight over land is reigniting after the city and borough of Juneau submitted a proposal to annex portions of Admiralty Island to the state's local boundary commission today. I have more on what that means. Demonstrators gathered across from the state capitol Friday and later City Hall to protest the city and borough of Juneau's petition to annex portions of Admiralty Island. The draft petition proposes expanding Juneau's current boundaries by 1,400 square miles. It includes land surrounding Tracy Arm to the south and portions of the northern end of Admiralty Island. The Juneau Assembly approved those boundaries by a narrow vote in January 2018. Assistant City Manager Mila Cosgrove said it took the city a year and a half to get all of the application materials together. She says they're aware of Angoon's concerns, but have confidence in the process.
That's why the Local Boundary Commission exists. It's to assist neighboring areas to work out any differences of opinion about where those lines should be.
The city of Angoon has protested annexation from the beginning, calling it a land grab and saying it threatens indigenous subsistence practices and their role as the original stewards of Admiralty Island. The Angoon City Council passed a resolution Monday, once again stating its opposition. Angoon Mayor Joshua Bowen says he doesn't understand why CBJ is moving forward with annexation when the land already has some federal protections from development. Tlingit elders from Angoon traveled to Washington, D.C. in 1978 to lobby for those protections.
The attitude here is like, why do we have to keep fighting to protect this monument?
Sitka Representative Jonathan Christ Tompkins joined Friday's protest. His district includes Angoon, and he says he's working with the city to send a letter of opposition to the local boundary commission. Christ Tompkins says aspects of CBJ's application, like the decision to exclude Funter Bay, where many Juneau residents own private cabins, likely won't be viewed sympathetically by the commission.
The legislature can disprove whatever the LBC puts forward, and I'll certainly be exercising that prerogative if it feels warranted.
The Local Boundary Commission will do an informal review of CBJ's petition before the final version is submitted. Once the commission completes its technical review, the petition will go to the legislature for approval. Douglas likely won't have an Independence Day or New Year's Eve fireworks show this year. That's following a public complaint to the state fire marshal's office. Now the city and borough of Juneau is cracking down on the volunteer behind the amateur pyrotechnics. The city's Parks and Recreation Director sent a letter to Brett McCurley on Friday, telling him that his show would violate city ordinances. Since 2015, McCurley has staged amateur fireworks show in downtown Douglas that are visible across Gastineau Channel. Juneau Parks and Recreation Deputy Director Michelle Elfers says city code prohibits this.
It's actually unlawful to possess or launch missiles, and that includes fireworks, in park lands. And so we had learned that he was planning to launch fireworks in the Sandy Beach area. So we're just informing him of that code provision.
Moving the fireworks to private property could be an option, but McCurley says he's reluctant to do that.
It becomes more dangerous. Because it's not an open field. It's not sand. Sandy Beach is one of the safest places to have fireworks.
Capital City Fire Marshal Dan Yeager says his office is still investigating whether the amateur fireworks are legal under the state's fire code. That determination is necessary for McCurley to stage his show anywhere. And that comes down to definitions. The state's rules limit amateur fireworks shows to 250 pounds at a time, but it's unclear whether that's weight of the powder or the total weight of the fireworks, including cardboard and plastic packaging.
Once we get that definition ironed out, that'll give us a better measuring stick to see if what Mr. McCurley wants to do has any limitations.
McCurley says he was hoping to get the green light from the city, but he says the latest letter from the city's parks director makes that seem unlikely.
You know, I'm sorry that there's going to be no show at the moment. It takes about a week to set up, so I mean, if the city can get back with us, that would be awesome within, you know, a week so that we can have the week of time to be able to put the show together. But as of now, pretty much the city is saying no.
The city's letter closes by reiterating the city parks close at midnight. It warns McCurley that if he's caught violating ordinances, he could be banned from city property. This summer, the Alaska Department of Environmental Conservation is conducting an air quality study in Juneau. It's the first study of its kind in Alaska and the first comprehensive look at the impact of cruise ship emissions in Juneau in almost 20 years. I have more on the study and how it may just be the start. Underneath the chatter of tourists and the sound of float planes, helicopters, and shuttle buses at Juneau's cruise ship docks, you can just make out the low rumble of the ship's engines. On any day, you can see faint plumes of exhaust coming out of their stacks. It's those plumes, and what was in them, that used to fascinate Martha and Jim Stay's good friend John Sandstedt. Whenever John would come over to their downtown home overlooking the harbor, Jim says he would look out on the cruise ships and the ribbons of blue exhaust rising above them.
John said, I'm going to do something about that. And so he got trained to be a visual inspector. So, you know, and it's a lot of training. You have to be able to look to sense how much particles are in the air.
He did that for a few years before moving away. John has since died, but the Stays still think of him whenever they see the plumes. When they heard the Department of Environmental Conservation was looking for volunteers to host electronic air monitors, they signed up.
And so this is John in our backyard here, hanging up there, measuring it.
That's right. They named the sensor after John. From April through October, the Stay's backyard will serve as a laboratory. The sensor takes regular measurements of particulate matter in the air. That's added to a central database, along with the information recorded by 20 other sensors placed around downtown. The Stays supply power to run the sensor, and in return, Martha says they feel they're doing their part to protect Juneau's quality of life.
We're just hoping to learn what quality our air is, if there's anything that we can do about it as citizens to be active, that if there is a problem, we can help affect changes.
But you don't have to be a volunteer to see what's being tracked. Anyone can watch the sensors collecting data in real time online. The DEC's website links to a map where you can see a layout of downtown Juneau covered in dots. Each one shows you what the sensors are reading. It updates about every 80 seconds. The dots range from green to red, depending on what they're picking up. Usually the dots show up green, but at various points during the day, you might notice one or two yellow, orange, or even red dots, especially closer to the cruise ship docks. But it's not as easy as pointing to a big red dot over City Hall and blaming it on the nearby ships. The people conducting the study say there are many factors at play.
If there's a vehicle that drives by, you get some of that exhaust passing the sensor, and then the next minute it can be gone and you can have cleaner air again.
That's Barbara Trost, a program manager for DEC's Division of Air. Trost is based in Anchorage, but her department is overseeing the study and regularly monitoring the data. She says a lot has changed in the 20 years since the last air quality study was done in Juneau, including the number and size of ships visiting in the summer.
So we've gotten a lot of complaints over the last couple of years from people in the downtown area about cruise ship emissions and the plumes that they can see and smell.
She says what they're interested in seeing is whether those readings remain high for extended periods of time. That would indicate that heavy particulates in the air are sticking around, which could create problems. Trost says the sensors don't measure diesel fumes, which is the primary concern from cruise ship exhaust. What they do measure is the concentration of fine particulate matter over time.
It's basically a type of particle that can be inhaled deep into the lungs and has a potential for creating health impacts.
Trost says they may decide to do another study in the future to determine what exactly those particles are made of and where exactly they're coming from. The sensor the Stays have in their backyard right now is made by a company called Purple Air, and it only costs about $250. If the DEC decides to do a more in-depth study later on, that will require sensor technology that can cost up to $10,000 or $20,000 each, according to Trost. For Martha Stay, cruise ship emissions have never been a major concern. She thinks of them as more of a nuisance. But she recognizes that understanding them is important.
Information is power. We're just gathering more information so we really know about our environment.
DEC plans to release a draft report on the Purple Air study by next spring. And an environmental group is suing the federal government for failing to designate critical habitat for two species of ice seals on the threatened species list. The Center for Biological Diversity sued the National Marine Fisheries Service on Thursday for not designating critical habitat for ringed and bearded seals. A spokeswoman, Julie Spiegel, said the agency doesn't comment on pending litigation. And taking a quick look at weather, It's currently 63 degrees and overcast at the Juneau International Airport. Later this afternoon, partly sunny with a high near 62.